Did you know that as much as 40% of Europe is covered by forests? As Europe is one of the world's fastest warming regions, scientists have long warned of the consequences of climate change for European forests, with hundreds of thousands of hectares facing disruption in the coming years. LensEU, zooming in on what drives Europe's community. I'm your host, Wojciech Kość, a climate and environment reporter at OKO.press, Poland's independently funded fact-checking news website. Together with local and freelance journalists from across Europe, we're discussing our shared European present and future, what makes us happy, what causes concern, how EU countries intend to tackle today's problems, and how they're planning our shared future. Today, we're going to talk about how European forests are struggling to cope with the impact of climate change. But first, are forests even important to people? The intuitive answer seems obvious, but there's also research to prove it. In June last year, the University of Warsaw published the results of a cross-border study seeking to determine just how valuable forests are to people. The study, which surveyed more than 11,000 people across 12 countries, including Austria, Germany, France, Denmark, Sweden, Slovakia, and Czechia, showed that, to quote the summary of the study on the university website, a forest's value goes far beyond the timber it can yield. According to the study, 90% of European citizens visit a forest at least once a year, with many doing so much more often. Importantly, whether people go for a walk, a run, or to forage, nearly everyone values forests that are natural, diverse, and rich in structure and biodiversity. This shows that protecting such forests is not only beneficial for the environment, but also for society as a whole, the study's summary said. But what makes a forest attractive? This varies somewhat by country, but some patterns are clear, the University of Warsaw survey showed. Old, tall trees are generally preferred. People also tend to favor more diverse forests, with a strong preference for mixed stands over single species, be they deciduous or coniferous ones. In Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, respondents were even willing to pay, in terms of additional travel, for more natural forests that include deadwood, the study summary said. These qualities are, however, at risk from climate change. According to data gathered by Copernicus, the European Union's climate change service, Europe has warmed by between 2.3 degrees Celsius and 2.4 degrees Celsius since the pre-industrial era. This rate means the continent is heating up roughly twice as fast as the global average, which stands at around 1.3 degrees Celsius to 1.4 degrees Celsius of warming. Roughly speaking, the warmer it gets, the more severe and less predictable the weather becomes, with forest fires, violent storms, and prolonged drought now becoming commonplace. That simply cannot leave the EU's forests unaffected, and climate change is already reshaping them and will continue to do so for years to come. A March 2026 study published in Science showed that, quote, in a scenario with global warming limited to roughly 2 degrees Celsius, researchers found that annually disturbed forest area could rise from 180,000 hectares to roughly 216,000 hectares per year by the end of the century, compared to the already unprecedented levels of disturbance from 1986 to 2020. End quote. The study suggests that the situation is already dire. The study says forests in southern and western Europe are likely to face the heaviest pressure, with disturbance patterns changing most sharply in those regions. Northern Europe is expected to suffer less overall, but the researchers caution that localized areas of serious forest damage are still likely to appear. More than 1,800 forest fires were recorded across the EU last year, releasing about 38 million tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Scientists said many broke out in areas where unusual weather patterns had made conditions far hotter and drier than normal. World Weather Attribution is an international research initiative that looks at extreme events, such as heat waves, floods, droughts, or wildfires, and asks how much more likely or intense climate change made them. It uses weather observations and climate models to produce rapid scientific assessments, often while the event is still fresh in the news. According to their research into last year's wildfires in Spain and Portugal, which consumed as many as 640,000 hectares, or 1% of the entire Iberian Peninsula, the extreme conditions that drove them are expected to occur approximately as often as every 15 years under current warming climate conditions. Such catastrophic events would only be expected to occur less than once per 500 years without climate change. I spoke to Dr. Christopher Ryer from the Potsdam Institute of Climate Impact Research, one of the co-authors of the study. His research focuses on the impacts of climate change on forests and adaptation to those impacts.
So we are not talking about modeling something in the future or projections and scenarios. It's really in the existing data. Yeah. So we have a lot of fire in the Mediterranean. Then we have, of course, drought bark beetle interactions that are very relevant in Central Europe. We also have storms. In storms, it's a bit more complicated because the climate signal in the storms is not so clear. So it's not really clear whether we will have stronger and more intense storms. But what we have is definitely a change in the conditions in the forest. So in northern European countries, the soil used to be frozen for like 6 months of the year, basically. And now the soil is less frozen, which means if the winter storms come early, the soil is not frozen, the trees are much more vulnerable. So it's a bit indirect, but we also have these kind of interactions in all kinds of forests. And yes, this is the big three, let's say. It's really fire and then drought, insects and storms. So those will determine the damage to European forests also in the next 50, 100 years.
These emergencies are increasingly becoming the focus of EU action, as their impact on biodiversity, communities and the economy can no longer be ignored. The bloc is trying to respond to what the Commissioner for Equality, Preparedness and Crisis Management, Haja Labib, recently called a new reality. Commissioner Labib leads the EU's Emergency Response Coordination Centre, or ERCC.
Wildfires in Belgium and the Netherlands. ERCC on alert. It was the end of April, not July, not August, April. The Netherlands requested for the first time support through our civil protection mechanism. Then Czechia did the same. Wildfires in Europe late April and early May. That has never happened in the history of our civil protection mechanism. This spring alone, we have already responded to fires in the Netherlands, Czechia, Germany, Italy and Poland. And I know my phone will keep buzzing because what used to be the exception is today our new reality. Wildfire season starts earlier, lasts longer and hits harder. But honestly, we shouldn't be surprised. Last summer, over 1 million hectares burned across Europe, the size of Cyprus, almost every member state was affected, as far north Sweden. Last year, our civil protection mechanism was activated 18 times for wildfires in Europe and neighboring countries, a record.
There are countries in the EU where the impact of climate change on forests is felt particularly strongly. I spoke to Anna-Line Brokane, a journalist at TVNet Group in Latvia, who told me the impact of climate change on Latvian forests must not be underestimated because of the role forests play in this small Baltic state.
In Latvia, we like to say that forests are our green gold. Forests cover about 53% of the country's territory, or 3.4 million hectares. Pine, birch and spruce are the dominant tree species, while forestry is one of the cornerstones of our economy. However, climate change is already leaving its mark. Looking at future projections, scientists predict that the distribution ranges of tree species will shift due to climate change. Models show that climatic conditions in Latvia will become increasingly unsuitable for Norway spruce. A decline in productive spruce stands unexpected in the southern and central parts of the country as the species range gradually shifts northeastwards. Birch and other deciduous species are expected to expand, while species such as beech and oak may become more common.
Anna says that while there is finally recognition of how serious the situation is becoming, competing interests are at play, underpinned by political polarization.
What is the reaction to the industry and the government? The phase of denial is largely over. There is a broad awareness of the risks. The timber industry and the state of forest manager are already adapting their forestry practices. More climate-resilient seedlings are being planted and mixed species forests are being promoted to reduce the risk that a single disease or pest could devastate the entire forest stands. However, Latvia faces significant political and social polarization over forestry issues. This is not primarily driven by climate change denial, but rather by competing interests. Nature Conservation's NGOs are calling for reduced logging volumes, stronger protection of old-grown forests, and increased carbon sequestration in line in EU targets. On the other hand, the Latvian Timber Industry Federation and forest owners argue that overly restrictive regulations could harm Latvia's GDP, reduce exports, and eliminate jobs in rural regions.
In Poland too, the impact of climate change on forests, which similarly to Latvia's, are largely made up of vulnerable species such as pine and spruce, is visible and subject to political power plays. Professional inventory and drone monitoring have revealed the serious scale of tree dieback. While only a few trees were dying recently, today the number of dead and dying pines is overwhelming. Local foresters managing forests near Warsaw said in April. But the Polish state forest management company, which earns billions of euros each year from timber sales, which also makes it a desired political asset, has been too slow to respond to demands to protect more forest areas, improve water retention, or give people better access to forests near big cities. According to Dr. Ryer, the solution for everyone, from weekend strollers to lumberjacks, is to adapt as soon as possible, or face irreversible losses. Protecting more forests appears key.
I think we actually need a lot more, because we have also a biodiversity crisis and we need more protection and more room for that, and we need all these other services, and they can be very well achieved with protected areas. And then it's a matter of discussion, let's say, in between societal groups, also how much biomass we want to provide for the bioeconomy and all those things. Yeah, so it's really something that the owners of the forest and society that also values the forest by going there or national parks or whatever, that's a kind of discourse that needs to take place. Yeah, because the forests themselves will change a lot. The traditional command and control forest management will be increasingly challenged, so they need to adapt as well, and then it needs to create value also from other ecosystem services, and this could help, let's say, traditional forest managers who were mostly looking at timber. So there's also incentives for them to be open, let's say, and I think it will be needed because the transformation needs effort and money and groups working together, regulations to be fulfilled or changed, and all of this.
What is really at stake in adapting Europe's forests to climate change is our future quality of life. From that point of view, forests are critical infrastructure, no less. Equal to roads, railways, hospitals or schools. Forests do much more than simply cover land with trees. Their roots reach deep into the soil, helping rainwater soak in far more effectively than it can on bare ground or intensively farmed fields. In that way, forests play a crucial role in regulating water, They absorb it, store it, and release it back into the environment. Then there are the climate benefits. Forests store carbon, but they also shape the local climate. They cool the air around them. In cities, parks and wooded areas become especially important during heat waves because they provide shade and help cooler air move into surrounding neighborhoods. And in mountainous areas, forests protect the land itself. When heavy rain falls, tree roots hold the soil together and reduce erosion. They also provide what we might call cultural and emotional services. People go to forests to rest, recover, and feel calm. In many places, forests are tied to traditions, seasonal rituals, religious practices, and the simple experience of being close to nature.